From Stamford to Stratford, from Westport to Wilton, Fairfield County listens to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Startling and breaking news yesterday that a draft decision, which must be stressed, may not in fact be the final decision, but a draft decision that was authored by Justice Samuel Alito that overturns Roe v. Wade was leaked to the media last night, Politico breaking the story, quickly getting headlines all over the country, if not the world. The significance of this is that in 1973, by a vote of 7-2, with Justice Harry Blackmun writing the decision for a divided court, the decision as to whether or not to make abortion legal went away from the state legislators and state legislatures, where it had been as a patchwork decided here and there throughout the country, to becoming a fundamental right recognized as part of the right of privacy, which had already been recognized as a constitutional right by the Supreme Court. Roe v. Wade followed Griswold v. Connecticut, our own little Connecticut, which held for the first time that married couples had the right to use contraception as a matter of federally guaranteed constitutional law of privacy. That decision happened in the 60s. In 1972, it was a leap forward for people who wanted women to have control over every aspect of their reproductive right decisions, and that meant the legalization of abortion. Now, Justice Blackmun's decision tracked the viability of a fetus in every trimester and made a decision that in the first trimester, women essentially had an unfettered right to abortion. In the second trimester, not so much. And in the third trimester, hardly at all. Making the decision that in the third trimester, there was a more compelling interest for a viable fetus to survive than a mother's right to terminate the pregnancy, except in certain cases, I believe, having to do with whether or not it was a decision to save the mother's life. In any event, after that, there was another important case called the Casey case. That case confirmed essentially the decision of Roe v. Wade, but it for the people that wrote that case, it wasn't. It was clear that there was a division among the Supreme Court. It was clear that there were some erosions in the unfettered right of women to have abortions during certain parts of the pregnancy, and it was clear that the court in general might be shifting away from some of the thinking of Roe v. Wade, but it didn't want to overturn Roe v. Wade, largely because it hinged on this theory of stare decisis, which is the Latin phrase for precedent, meaning that because a decision had been decided, there was a lot of important weight that should be given in leaving it alone. In any event, if you want to read the draft of the decision, which may not be the decision at all, it's available online everywhere, and Justice Alito tackles that principle of stare decisis right away. And he says that that's not as important a concept as people think. Joining us now is Martha Zoller of WDUN in Georgia, who is a daily talk show host, a very popular and very influential person in the state of Georgia. She is a conservative Republican. And I think that this is fair to say that she and I may not see the same way on this issue, which is to say on the right of women to have the right to terminate a pregnancy as a matter of fundamental law. But she joins us now. She's a very dear friend of mine, as you know, and we welcome your thoughts and comments as we tackle this very important issue, which obviously affects women a lot more than men. Martha Zoller, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Martha, did you get a look at that opinion yet?
I did. You know, it's also, I mean, there's a couple of things. One, I'm very concerned about the fact that this was leaked because the ability to deliberate and have that be confidential, which this was written in February, we don't know how many other drafts there are, is very important. And there should be strong disciplining of whoever did this. If it was a clerk, they should be fired and disbarred for doing this. If it turns out it was a justice, then there's a real question about whether they should be continue serving on the Supreme Court. and whether impeachment might be in order, because this is going to open up, you know, protests outside the Supreme Court where people are banging on doors, which is already happening. It's going to open up more security and less access to Capitol Hill because of the really outrageous things that are being said. And that needs to be dealt with separately, right? That's a whole different issue. That shouldn't have happened. And I think everybody can agree that this is a pretty egregious breach of the rules.
Ethics. I think it's a breach of ethics.
Ethics.
I think it's a tremendous breach of ethics. You know, I, as you know, I write opinions. And I was explaining to my audience in the last hour, Martha, that the first opinion that I write as a draft for myself is very often not at all the last opinion of how I think about a subject. Sometimes the writing of it itself changes my mind. Literally, the writing of it itself changes my mind. So,
Even though Samuel Alito signed this, it's very possible it was just something that came out of his office. And that it was like a group effort. Yes, he signed off on it, kind of like a lot of people sign off on things that are written on their behalf. But it may not have actually all been written word for word by him. We don't know all of that.
We also really, go ahead, Martha. Go ahead. Yep.
No, and the second thing is, on this issue, you know, whether you're talking about Roe, you're talking about Obamacare, you're talking about voting rights, any of the big decisions that have gone over, you know, if Justice Scalia, for example, was writing the opinion, he would always talk about that when they make a decision, the Supreme Court, then that really pushes the issue back to the legislature to deal with. And I think this, of all issues, shows how the legislature, the Congress, even when they had big majorities that were supposedly pro-choice, were not ever able to actually codify in law Roe v. Wade. And they left this door open for 50 years almost for state legislatures to come back in. And that's what has started happening. State legislatures, this decision is about a case called Dodd that has to do with Mississippi. But there are laws all across the country that have limited abortion and are being challenged in the court.
Yeah, I know. Well, some of them have outright all but banned it, right? So if you're going to say 6 weeks, let's be honest, a lot of women don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks, Martha. So, you know.
The Georgia law does not say 6 weeks.
Oklahoma. I'm talking about Oklahoma. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
I don't know. What does the Georgia law say?
Well, it's the heartbeat bill, which means that once a heartbeat is detected, after a heartbeat is detected, and that's where a lot of press said, oh, well, that's 6 weeks. Well, sometimes it's 6 weeks, sometimes it's later, sometimes it's earlier, and you're right. And it is being challenged in the court right now. But if this decision comes down the way it looks like it is from this leaked opinion, then that may all be moot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just had, it's very interesting, Martha, you'll be interested in this. We just had a debate in Connecticut over a bill that passed, and I believe it's going to be signed by the governor, but it passed with great debate. And the bill was a bill that tried to head off Texas and Oklahoma that are basically doing bounty hunters and things for people that are assisting in abortions and basically protected people in Connecticut from being able to do the procedure. It also codified into law the fact that in reality, you have physician's assistants that are doing the procedure. You may even have midwives that are doing the procedure. And it wanted to protect them, not just doctors, from being able to do abortion. Now, the interesting thing about this, Martha, is that during the debate, there were some Black Democrats who raised the issue that they didn't want to pass the bill. Some ended up voting for it ultimately after debate. Some did not. And they didn't want to pass the bill because they felt that the incidence of abortion since Roe v. Wade had affected too many Black people and was essentially marketed as a way to destroy the Black race. That's the way they felt. By the way, not every Black person agreed with them by any means, but there was a division among Democrats on the issue of race and abortion here in Connecticut. So it's not going to be immediately apparent, just following up on your point, Martha Zoller, that your political label will necessarily have you go one way or another on the issue of abortion. But I will say, as somebody who was a pro-choice Republican for many years, that I felt, Martha, and I think that you'll be honest with me and say that you understand how I felt, that I felt that I was completely marginalized on this issue. I was called a Republican in name only for my thoughts about this. And the Republican Party made itself a very small tent when it came to this. Very.
No, and I think for whatever reason, this issue falls into that category, because I can name you off a number of pro-life Democrats that feel the same way inside the Democrat Party.
Yes, and I'm sure that's right. That's right.
It is a matter of conscience. It is. And I think that, you know, while I am pro-life and I believe that, you know, that we have to be pro-life throughout life. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Governor Brian Kemp, I support him, because he has not only made the foster care system better, the support system for Medicaid for prenatal mothers. I mean, it's not just about whether you have the baby. We just passed a law called Betsy's Law, where we have it's kind of the old school maternal homes, where you can live if you're a single mom up to 18 months after the child is born.
Wow.
It, so that we'll have some ability for people to be pro-life, not just about having the baby, but be pro-life about having the baby.
Well, that's an interesting development. Let's go to Eleanor, who's been holding from Aunt Sonia. Eleanor, you still there? You've been very patient. You still there? Is Eleanor still there, or did she give up on us, Andrew? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Eleanor. Did you want to weigh in on this? You're chatting with Martha Zoller and myself.
I am with Mrs. Wexler, pro-life, and I'm just tired of listening to all these people that think, I have an accident, I'll abort, and that's it. And it's not that. I'm sorry. I just, there are so many families that would love, or couples that would love a child. You know what? Let it go full term. I cannot believe that anyone, when they engage in activity with a partner, don't think that that's not a possibility. And if you don't want that possibility, then there's options, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Eleanor. That's Eleanor weighing in from Aunt Sonia on the topic of abortion. 203-333-9422. I think she misspoke, Martha. I think she might be more in your camp on this.
That's
right?
All right. That's okay.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Look, this is going to be, this is a seismic shift in American political life. It's going to be very interesting to see where and how the country goes on this, because we are not where we were in 1972 in terms of options for contraception. A lot of the right to life movement is brought by women. This isn't about, I think that women who don't see that are missing the big picture. There are a lot of women I know who say, how can a woman not be in favor of abortion? And I tell them, go look at the rallies. It's a lot of women.
Really.
It's a lot of women.
There's a lot of young people too.
Yeah.
There are a lot of young people. There are a lot of people, and really, it is true. I mean, contraception is not the same as it was in 73. You've got to look at the whole picture, and, you know, I firmly believe if you look at the whole picture that you're going to understand what the value of life is. And there's also not the stigma of being a single mother that there was in 1973. That's also an issue.
Yeah, that's true. But I also think that you have generations of women who took for granted that they could handle an unintended pregnancy the way they wanted to. And they may wake up to find, what do you mean you took that away from me? I'm not happy about that. So,
well, they might be past childbearing age. I do think that one of the things that was interesting is now all of a sudden, these people on the left that couldn't define what a woman is, they know exactly what a woman is today.
What do you mean? You mean with
I'm
all of the...
Being
of,
funny.
With, you
I'm
mean
being
with all
funny.
The... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do think, getting back to the process here, that the leak of the decision is terribly harmful for the Supreme Court. It's very bad.
Oh, I'm very worried about that. I'm very worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to really be interesting to see. I can't imagine it was a justice. I cannot imagine that a justice would do that.
I can't either. I think that's like a 0.002% possibility. But it's a clerk. It's probably a clerk of one of the three liberal justices. It may not be. Who knows?
May not
but
be.
If they're a lawyer, it could be. But it should be. You should be terminated, and you should be disbarred for doing this. It's a great breach of ethics.
Let's go to Ralph from Bridgeport. Ralph, would you like to weigh in on this? We're talking about the possible or probable overturning of Roe v. Wade with Martha Zoller. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Lisa. This is the Ralph that usually calls you. Shalom, as always.
Ralph, you need to turn down your radio. Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm very sorry. I tuned in late because I had a bad night last night, and I went back to bed about 8:30, and I woke up later than I wanted to. But anyway, was Dr. Nathanson brought up, the one who helped Roe v. Wade pass?
Dr. Nathanson? I don't know who
okay,
that is.
Good,
maybe
good.
Martha knows
well,
who that
well,
is.
Good,
Martha,
good. Well,
you know?
Let me just tell you, because this is very important. It's very interesting, too. Dr. Nathanson was the doctor who helped Roe versus Wade pass because – he said, this was before ultrasound came into the picture, before ultrasound was invented. He said, look, it's just a bunch of cells. It doesn't have feelings. And a lot of people don't forget that. When Roe v. Wade passed, it passed by a majority of Republican Supreme Court justices, okay? But that's beside the point. What I'm getting at is Dr. Nathanson, when ultrasound was invented, he said he saw a fully formed human being. And when the instrument was doing what it does to take the fetus's life, the mouth opened as if it was screaming. He went from being the biggest proponent who helped it get passed to being the biggest opponent. And he made a documentary that's on YouTube. It's 22 minutes. It's called The Silent Scream. He championed for pro-life after that. And also there's a woman named – her last name is Johnson. I forget her first name. Anyway, she was a former nurse in an abortion clinic. Now she's a serious pro-life champion. And when I heard her interviewed on a Christian station, they asked her, how does one go from working in an abortion clinic to being a champion for pro-life? She said, well, I worked in the front office. I did all their intake information, you know, and stuff. And she said, and then one day the doctor, the nurse who was supposed to assist the doctor was not in. He said, you're going to have to help me. So she said that when the instrument was doing what it does, she said, a little hand. She said, I saw a fully formed human being. She said, and then I saw this little hand trying to push it away.
I get it. Thank you, Ralph.
All right,
I'll
let you go. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I guess Ralph was talking about Bernard Nathanson. I'm reading everything Ralph says is true. He presided over NARAL, which was the Abortion Rights League, and then he decided that he'd made a terrible mistake, and he became an anti-abortion activist in later years. Martha Zoller, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa.
All right. We'll be back another time. Stay tuned for more of the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.